This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project with you on another beautiful Wednesday evening, walhamdulillah. And we continue bi-ithnillahi ta'ala almost at the end of our series, walhamdulillah. We continue with the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatallah. In our previous majlis, we concluded hadith number 38, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatallah, hadith number 38, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stated in that hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Man aada li waliyan faqad aadantuhu bil harb. Whoever shows enmity to a friend of mine, I shall be at war with him. We went through the great discussion related to who is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. And my servant does not draw near to me with anything more beloved by me than the religious obligations. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. And my servant, he continues drawing closer to me with the supererogatory works, and thus I love him. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. And when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, and his hand with which he strikes. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And his feet with which he walks. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ. And if he asks of me, I will surely give to him. وَلَئِنْ إِسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّ. And if he seeks refuge, if he asks from me and seeks refuge in me, then I will grant it to him. This hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari, walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, we discussed who is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the criteria of being a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain misconceptions with regards to this matter. We said that the fara'id most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you continue gaining closeness to Allah via your supererogatory acts, via your nawafil and your sunan acts. Then subhanallah, we discussed and we went through the interpretations of the scholars with regards to, then I am the hearing that he hears with, the seeing that he sees with. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the audios of the previous majlis are available and you can download them from www.muslimcentral.com. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. We now move on to hadith number 39 bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Hadith number 39 upon the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. In fact, when we mention the name of Abdullah ibn Abbas, we don't say radiyallahu anhu. Rather, we should say radiyallahu anhuma. May Allah have mercy and may Allah be pleased with him and his father. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah tajawaza li an ummati al khata'a wa nisyana wa mastukrihu alayhi. Hadithun hasanun rawahu Ibn Majah wal Bayhaqi wa ghayruhuma. Upon the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, narrates that the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has pardoned for me my people. Allah has pardoned for me upon my ummah. Pardoned what? Al-khata'a, their mistakes. Wa-nisyana, and their forgetfulness, that which they had forgotten. Wa-mastukrihu alayh, and whatever they've done under duress. whatever they've been coerced into doing. This hadith, Imam al-Tirmidhi states, it is a hasan al-hadith reported by Ibn Majah, Bayhaqi and others. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, our explanation of this super important hadith is as follows. Number one, the takhrij of this hadith. This hadith is a very, very famous hadith, and there's various wordings of this hadith. For example, رَفَعَ اللَّهُ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ ثَلَاثًا الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسْيَانِ وَالْأَمْرَ يَكْرَهُونَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lifted from this ummah three matters: their mistakes, their forgetfulness, and the matters where they've been forced into doing. Reported by Ibn Adi fil Kamil. We also have another version: وَضَعَ اللَّهُ عَنْ أُمَّتِي. Allah has put off from this ummah al-khata'a wal-nisyana wama istukrihu alayh. And this hadith reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah and Sunan al-Kubra. We have another narration. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسِيَانِ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. And this in reality is the best version of this hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي. Without the li. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسِيَانَ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. Reported by Imam al-Tabarani, al-Hakim, Ibn Hibban, Darqutni, and others. And lastly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسْيَانَ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. And that is the version that we have in the 40 ahadith reported by Ibn Majah, Imam al-Bayhaqi, Imam al-Tahawi and others. This hadith in reality is sahih according to, for example, Ibn Hibban, al-Hakim, Imam al-Dhahabi, Ibn Kathir, Imam al-Sakhawi, al-Albani and others. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمْ. Number two, general comments related to this hadith. Subhanallah, this hadith is obviously very, very, very important. It deals with the topic of personal responsibility. Oh, I forgot about the matter. Oh, I made a mistake. I bumped into you by mistake. I reversed and I bumped and I knocked into your car or knocked into your postbox by mistake. What about liability? Is there going to be compensation? Is there sin involved in this matter? This hadith here deals with the topic of personal responsibility. Excellent. It also proves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not consider people sinful when their actions are not representative of their intentions. You know, there was an action done, but I didn't intend to do that. It was a mistake. It was an error. I had forgotten. I was forced to do this matter, subhanAllah. In general, we state that a sin is something done against the Sharia knowingly and willingly. A sin is something done against the Sharia knowingly and willingly. Whereas, if you forgot, if you were forced, if it was a mistake, then there's no sin attached to that. You are not responsible if done forgetfully or by mistake or coercion. And subhanAllah, this hadith here is a manifestation of the verse of the Noble Qur'an. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. And we've not made any difficulty in this deen. We've not made any haraj there in this deen, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Number three, the narrator of this hadith, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. In reality, we've already discussed his biography in great detail when we went through hadith number 19. Walhamdulillah. Number four, the detailed explanation of this hadith, the sharh of this hadith. Inna Allaha tajawaza. Inna Allaha tajawaza. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned. This shows us what? This shows us the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wanted, Allah would have held us accountable for that which we had forgotten, or we were forced, or we had fallen into a mistake. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to His infinite mercy, He has pardoned us for those matters. And we are insan. How many a times a day we forget? How many a times a day we make mistakes? Subhanallah. It also shows us, as we said, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to Allah has pardoned, what has Allah pardoned? That's the question. That's the million-dollar question. What has Allah pardoned? Majority of the ulama state that the sin attached to this act, there's no sin attached to this act. You are not sinful with regards to this matter. You bumped into somebody's car. You knocked somebody by mistake, subhanAllah. You overstepped when it came to the time of Salatul Fajr. There's no sin with regards to this matter. You are not sinful. And the scholars, majority of them, are in agreement with regards to this matter. So Allah has pardoned us with regards to the sin. Okay, next matter. What about the consequences of that act? What about the consequences of that act? Maybe now this car needs repairs. Maybe, for example, somebody has been killed. What about the consequences of this matter? Am I liable with regards to the consequences? Then there's ikhtilaf amongst the ulama, and great ikhtilaf. And some of them have said you are liable, others said you're not liable. And those who said you're not liable, they have a lot of tafsil and detail. Certain matters they do hold the person liable, and certain matters not liable. And so there's great ikhtilaf amongst the ulama with regards to this matter. And one of the reasons for this ikhtilaf is the matter of umum al-muqtada. For example, the hadith mentions Allah has pardoned that which you had forgotten, that which you were mistaken about, and that which you were coerced into doing. And so, umum al-muqtada indicates and would mean that, everything related to this, everything, whether it's to do with the rights of Allah, rights of mankind, whether it's to do with the property of somebody, whether it's not to do with their property, anything and everything would fall under this hadith, except if there's a specific evidence. Otherwise, everything would fall under this hadith and you are not liable. And in reality, majority of the ulama did not go down that route. They did not go down that route. Majority of the ulama state that the sin is pardoned, but not the consequences in this dunya. The consequences in this dunya, you are liable for that. And some of them approach this hadith from the angle of rights, from the angle of huquq. They said that if it is from the rights of mankind, then whether it was a mistake, whether you had forgotten, whether you were forced, there's no sin, no problem, but liability is due, compensation is due. You walked into a shop and your kid by mistake, you know, he hit something, he dropped something, it broke, etc. Yes, there's no sin involved, but there has to be compensation due. It was a complete mistake and you bumped into somebody's car. No problem, no sin. But compensation, liability is due. And this is the opinion of majority of the scholars. They said that the rights of mankind, liability, etc. is due. And when it came to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then many of them said that. Many of them said with regards to the rights and the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here, one is not liable. Here, one is not liable. And there's ikhtilaf in this matter. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Nonetheless, many of them have gone down that route that if you forgot, if for example you had made a mistake, etc., from the rights of mankind, liability is 100% due, whereas the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are absolved. Having said that, as we mentioned, there's ikhtilaf and there's also, you know, certain tafsil, etc. So for example, somebody complete mistake, he completely forgot to make wudu and he performed his salah. Does it mean now, well, this is the rights of Allah, well, you know, it's all well and done? No, not at all, not at all. We will be discussing, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the greater details with regards to that. You have forgotten, you did not make wudu, and you had performed salah, well, you need to repeat, and you need to make that salah again, you need to make it with a proper wudu, and then you make that salah. I overslept, and I missed Salatul Fajr. You don't say, well, it's the rights of Allah, no problem, all is well. No, no, no. You need to make up that Salatul Fajr as soon as possible. Important, you know, when it comes to legal capacity, an individual who is sane and mature, somebody who's sane and they are baligh, they are pubert, they are mature. But there are certain circumstances, like mentioned in this hadith, you were forced. You had forgotten. It was a mistake. You know, these matters come up, and technically there's like temporary removal of this complete capacity from yourself. It's called al-awarid al-ahliya. So for example, you have one category where this is not by your doing. This is not by the doing of man. These are acts of providence, lunacy, forgetfulness, sleep, you overslept, you know, you went into a fit, you had fainted, the female in her menses, etc. And there are certain rules, etc. attached to these matters. Then, for example, if it is brought about by man, maybe it is yourself, you know, you are ignorant. And so what happens if I did something and I was ignorant? What if I did something and I was drunk? I did something and I said it in a state of jest. I did something and I was joking. I did something, it was a mistake. Then the other category would be brought about by man, but not yourself, by others. Where you were forced to do a matter. You were under duress. And the scholars look into the various masail from this angle. Inna Allah tajawaza, Allah has pardoned. An ummati, for my nation, for my ummah. Some ulama of the opinion that this was one of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah, unlike the previous ummas. The previous ummas, according to some scholars, that the matter of mistake and the matter of forgetfulness, etc., they were burdened with it. That they were not pardoned for this matter, but rather for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah has pardoned the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam if they forget, if they make a mistake, and if they did something under duress. Pardon them what? Al-khata'a. Pardon the matter of mistakes. Jayid, the pardon the matter of mistakes. We find in the Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Rabbana, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, do not hold us accountable. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا. Don't hold us accountable. إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. If we forget or we make an error, do not hold us accountable with regards to this matter. Right? And subhanAllah, many other verses from the Noble Quran. بإذن الله تعالى, we take a short break, and when we return, we continue the explanation of hadith number 39. والحمد لله. إن الله تجاوز لي عن أمتي الخطأ. الخطأ, what is خطأ? خطأ are those mistakes. Those mistakes. والنسيان, and what we had forgotten. What we had forgotten. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. وَاللَّهُ, do not hold us accountable for that matter which we had forgotten, subhanAllah. نَسِيَ آدَمْ وَنَسِيَ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ. Adam forgot and his children, they also forget. What did Adam forget? What did he forget? Adam alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken out from his loins all of his progeny who would come about until Yawm al-Qiyamah, he saw one who had like some brightness in him. And he asked, who is this? It was said that this is Dawood alayhi salam. He asked, how long will he live? And when he found out, Adam alayhi salam said that, give him from my life a certain number of years. And so subhanAllah, later on, when the angel of death came to take the soul of Adam alayhi salam, he says, no, I still have such and such time. And so the angel said, no, rather you had given that to Dawood alayhi salam. And so from there we mention, and it is said, Nasiya Adam, Adam had forgotten, wa nasiya dhurriyatahu, and his children, they also forget. And we all forget, subhanAllah. وَالنِّسْيَانِ, whatever we had forgotten. And subhanAllah, there's no sin involved with regards to this matter. Application, for example, you know, you had forgotten about Salatul Asr. You were busy with this and that, etc. Completely forgot. It completely slipped your mind. There is no sin upon you that the fact that you have missed Salatul Asr, there is no sin upon you. But do you need to go and make up that Salatul Asr? Do you need to pray that Salatul Asr? 100% of course. An individual, for example, he didn't realize, he had forgotten, he did not have wudu, and he prayed his Salatul Asr. Then he realized, you know what, I did not make wudu. We say, brother, go and make wudu, and now pray your Salatul Asr. Right? Excellent. What if, for example, I broke something? I had completely forgotten. I thought that this was my property. Meanwhile, it was the property of my neighbor, and I broke down something. Well, I need to compensate him for that. I am liable for that. That I'm not sinful because I didn't know, but I have to compensate him for that matter. Similarly, for example, you know, there was some drink somewhere and you drank from it, not realizing, you didn't know that, you know, this was, there was alcohol in it, subhanAllah. You didn't know that this was wine. You will not be sinful for this matter. And there's a very close relationship between ignorance, jahl, and forgetfulness, because at that time, you know, this was not in your mind. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But when would forgetfulness not be an excuse? Are there certain circumstances when forgetfulness is not an excuse? The answer is yes. There are certain scenarios when forgetfulness is not an excuse. When one is heedless. When one is heedless, when one is negligent. For example, somebody memorizes the Noble Quran. Memorize the Noble Quran, walhamdulillah. Memorize these certain surahs, etc. And now, he's not kept up with his revision, and thus he has forgotten what he had memorized. This person will be liable for this. But this is forgetfulness. But this is due to his negligence. This is due to heedlessness. This is due to the fact that I am not revising and I am liable for that, subhanAllah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسْيَانَ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. And what is done under duress. What is done under duress. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. That if somebody has iman in their heart, and he was forced to save his life, he had to say a word of kufr. This kufr will not be counted against him, subhanAllah. Why? He's got iman in his heart, and he only said that under duress. And this was a case of darura. When it comes to cases of coercion, duress, then we have four parties. Number one, you have the mukrih. The mukrih, the one who is doing the forcing. Then we have the mukrah, the one who is forced, the victim. Then we have the mukrah bihi, which is the threat. I will kill you. I will break your arms. I will shoot you, etc. Then we have the mukrah alayhi. And this is the act that you are being forced to do. For example, X says to Y, that divorce your wife or else I will kill you. Divorce your wife or else I will kill you. So the mukrih, the one doing the forcing, is X. The one who is being forced is Y. And the mukrah bihi, the threat, I will kill you. You will might lose your life. And the mukrah alayhi, and the reason that you are being forced, or the act that you are being forced to do, is to divorce your wife. Na'am. With regards to the matter of being forced in a matter, subhanAllah, there's great ikhtilaf amongst the ulama. Many of them, for example, of the opinion that if you were forced to divorce your wife, then this is null and void. This is not counted at all. You had no choice in the matter. If saying a word of kufr will not be counted, then saying the divorce should obviously not be counted. Whereas the Hanafi scholars are of the opinion that when it comes to the matter of talaq, for example, you know that talaq, whether you are joking, whether you are serious, it's counted. And so the Hanafi scholars of the opinion that if you were forced, somebody held a gun to your head and said, divorce your wife, and you did so, it would be a valid divorce. It would be a valid divorce. Whereas majority of the ulama state, no, it will not be counted as a divorce. For example, what if somebody forces you to kill another Muslim? They say to you that we will shoot you if you do not kill this other Muslim. Are you allowed to kill this next Muslim? You need to save your life, obviously. So would we say that this is a darura situation? It is a dire necessity situation. You can't pull the trigger and kill the next person to save your life. Or do we say that, well, let's look at, you know, who's the older one, who's the better one, who's the more pious one, who's the richer one, etc. Who's the younger one? No, not at all, subhanAllah. Your life and the life of that next Muslim are the same, they are equal. And if somebody threatens to kill you or else threatens to kill you, if you do not kill the next Muslim, you are not allowed to take the life of that next Muslim. Why? Because your life and that person's life are equal. Are equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so not permissible at all. Some other examples that are related to this hadith, insha'Allah. We mentioned if somebody missed a salah, then you need to make up that salah as soon as possible. What if, for example, I was fasting and I ate while fasting? Then this hadith applies according to majority of the scholars and your fast is still valid. You didn't know, you had forgotten, you ate. Your fast is still valid, whereas Imam Malik rahimahullah said, no, your fast would be null and void. You're not sinful, but your fast is null and void, according to Imam Malik, whereas majority of the scholars state that your fast is still valid. SubhanAllah, there's this famous incident narrated that Abu Huraira was approached by somebody. And the man says, ya Abu Huraira, you know, I was fasting this morning, and then I had forgotten and I ate. Abu Huraira says, no problem, Allah fed you, it's all well and good, continue fasting. The man says, but then what happened was, I went to a friend's house and you know, I had forgotten that I was fasting. He took out some meal, some food, and I ate. Is my fast valid? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, no, don't worry, it's all fine, you know, your fast is valid. The man says, well, but you know what happened after that? I went to the house of another, and subhanAllah, I forgot that I was fasting. He took out a meal and I ate. You know, is my fast valid? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, it seems that you are a person who's not used to fasting. You know, you don't know how this works, subhanAllah. You're not used to fasting. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Nonetheless, if somebody eats while fasting, it was a mistake, it was done forgetfully, their fast is valid. Walhamdulillah. We touched upon the matter of somebody forced you to say a word of kufr. Will this be counted as kufr? The answer is no, it will not be counted as kufr. And in summary, brothers and sisters, this hadith, very, very important hadith. This hadith here is a sahih hadith, as was the verdict of many a scholar. We learn from this hadith that Allah has pardoned us for that which we had forgotten. Allah has pardoned us for our mistakes, and Allah has pardoned us for those acts that we do under duress. This is in terms of sin. This is in terms of sin. As for dunya accountability, then that still applies. Dunya accountability and liability and compensation, that still applies. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And with that, we have concluded. We've come to the end of hadith number 39. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in our next majlis, we will move on to hadith number 40. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, before ending off, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant khair and barakah to our brothers and sisters around the globe who are suffering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant khair to them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant ease to them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant shelter to those who have lost their shelter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clothe those who are naked. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant food to those who are hungry. To grant those who are hungry food and water. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant victory to those who are fighting in his path, fi sabilillah. We know that our brothers and sisters in Halab, in Syria, in Iraq, and many places in Burma, subhanAllah, many areas, many places around the globe, they are suffering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the suffering of our brothers and sisters. And having said that, brothers and sisters, we take stock of ourselves. Where am I with the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where am I with regards to Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where am I with regards to the rights of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the following of his sunnah? Where am I with regards to the fara'id? Where am I with regards to avoiding and staying away from the haram? Where am I with regards to all of that? Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq, the best in this world and in the hereafter. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-amdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.